It is good. It is so good to gather as church, to worship, to celebrate God's goodness. When somebody turns to Jesus, when somebody's baptized, and also to remember those who are hurting in need of God's healing and His comfort and His presence. So I just want to encourage us to continue praying. And we know that there are more needs than that. Share them together. Don't carry them yourself. Share them and keep bringing them before the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to two places. You can put your finger into Colossians chapter 3 right now. And then if you want to start at Psalm 96. Now we are midway in our series on the spiritual gifts. We've identified what gifts are, what spiritual gifts are, and other types of acquired and natural giftings. We spent some time talking about the Holy Spirit, the giver of the gifts, and then we identified that it's essential that we have character as we exercise and practice our spiritual gifts. As I was praying this week, I felt God draw me to this song. And it's important for us that we understand as we're moving ahead that using the gifts are essential. The gifts are from God's Spirit. They're not our own. At the end of the service 2 weeks ago, last week we had Larry Idy, we went through four different things. You remember those four different things? The first was, have you ever looked down on somebody? The second one, has somebody or have people looked down on you? The third was, have you been shaped by somebody? And the fourth was, have you put God in a box? And as we moved through those, we were invited to stand up and identify. It was a bold declaration to stand up and say, I've been in this place and God is calling me out of it. I've been in this place, and God is calling me out of it. And I held that over the next week and the week after. And it just didn't seem like we were ready to push ahead. And so I believe this is part, for those of you who stood up, for those of us, because I stood up, I identified with two of those. For those of us who stood up, this is part of that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I really encourage you to grab the app and go back to that message because it was one where God spoke to us. Now, Psalm 96 says this, and I'm going to read this really slowly and meditatively, and I want you to listen for where are you drawn to, what captures your heart, where is God speaking to you, where is He inviting you in this? Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Now just take a moment right now and invite you to prayerfully close your eyes and listen. Where were you captured? Where were you drawn to? What did God speak? in those moments as we read His Word. Here's our goal today. Our goal today is to identify and discern what is your old song. What is the old song that you sang before you met and encountered Jesus in a way that shaped your life? And are you still singing that old song today? The second thing is we want to identify what is the new song that Jesus gives us and is giving us to sing. And then really to put our feet on the ground and to begin singing that song, and this is where we take it from this place, to begin singing that song, not only so that we can receive and live in freedom, not only so that we can be freed from those four things that we identified at the end of the service 2 weeks ago, but so that we can join God in His mission of proclaiming before the world His goodness, His amazingness. And Psalm 96 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples." It's not about us, it's about Him. We have to trust Him because in His love, He made it about us. But that should give us freedom to be released from seeking our own good. Does that make sense? Eyes on Jesus. New song versus old song. As I was holding this scripture, the idea occurred to me that it's like a bit of a diet. It's like an old food versus a new food. And as I was thinking about that, I did a little bit of research. The thing that came to mind is, as my wife has celiac, and there are a number of other people. I'm not going to make you identify yourselves. You know who you are. There are a number of other people in our church who have celiac disease. And it's interesting. Statistics say that one in 133 people in Canada have celiac. And so we're just breaking the numbers right off that in our ratio in our church, because we've got a handful of people. So I'm going to share a little bit of this. This is going to be a bit of a metaphor for us to understand old food versus new food, old song versus new song. Okay? The definition of celiac disease. This is a medical condition in which the absorptive surface of the small intestine is damaged by a substance called gluten. As Peter Metcalf puts it, glutens. Okay. Well, I remember you identifying it as glutens. That was the safe version. Glutens. This result is an inability of the body to absorb nutrients. So the body cannot absorb protein, fat, carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals that are all essential for good health. Now, symptoms, here's some of the symptoms. So just that diagram up there, it's a little bit fuzzy, but we've got, it's a genetic predisposition. It's this immune-mediated disorder. It's this gluten intolerance. And what it is an inflammatory injury of the small intestine. Now, I saw a picture of the small intestine. And for those of us who don't have celiac and can absorb glutens, our intestines are like this. Right? For somebody with celiac, they don't have those extra ones, and there's this sensitivity there. How am I doing so far, celiacs? We're okay? Just give me a covert, like one of these. And if I'm off, okay, good. We're good. So the symptoms may appear together or singularly in children or adults. They can be all together or by themselves. Now, I won't go into all the symptoms, but anemia, stomach pain, and things that go along with stomach pain. This is the censored version. Weight loss, fatigue, cramps, bloating, irritability. Essentially, with celiac, is you get to this place where your body cannot absorb certain foods. Now, here's the metaphor. Here's the catch. Okay? The catch is, before Jesus, we're living, we're immersed in sin. Sin is glutens in this metaphor, okay? We are eating all the glutens we can get our hands on, and these glutens are good. They taste good. All of a sudden, we come to Jesus, and we are purified in a sense, and we can no longer eat glutens. Now, celiacs, this is a positive light on this thing that you carry. This is a positive, a little encouragement. One of the things I've seen in my wife is that as she's moved from not being able to gluten to, being able to eat gluten to not being able to gluten, is this amazing self-control and discipline with her diet. Right? Now, why is that? Because if she doesn't self-control or self-discipline with her diet, she will be a wreck. All those symptoms occur. If there's even the tiniest or smallest amount that gets in there. Right? And those of you who have celiac, identify with that. Yeah, of course. You have to go to the restaurant and say, hey, do you have any chance you have a gluten-free menu? And some servers will go, well, yeah, this one's pretty good, and this one only has a little bit. And then you'll order it, and all of a sudden, a half hour after dinner, my wife is just doubled over in pain. Now, here's the thing. Before Jesus, we eat glutens. After Jesus, we don't eat glutens. Before Jesus, we're immersed in sin. After Jesus, when we choose sin, it wrecks us. When we choose, as followers of Jesus, to sing the old song, it ruins us. It gives us cramps. It gives us pain. It gives us indigestion. We bear no fruit. We're in chaos. Are you seeing this metaphor? Are you seeing the transfer? And the difficult thing is that sometimes people have a mild case of celiac and where there's a sensitivity, and they'll write it off as irritable bowel syndrome or something like that, but they'll continue to eat the food that they shouldn't eat. And I think that's what happens to those of us in the church who have chosen Jesus, but we continue to sing and to try and sing the old song. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for us, church. Those four things that we stood up and said, I identify with that. Lord, heal me. Lord, free me. In the moment we speak it, and then we step from here, and so many times we keep singing the old song. Church, if we are going to sing this new song, we have to understand that there's got to be this self-control where we see this beautiful cinnamon bun come across our plate and we look at it and say, no, I don't eat glutens. Where we identify, no, that is the old song, and Jesus invites me into freedom in the new song. And so I say no. Does this connecting? Is this making sense? Okay. A few days ago, I was driving by this church, and it had the name of it something like Freedom Chapel. And as I read it, in my heart, I have to confess, there was a degree of skepticism. There's a degree of skepticism because in my own life, I am not always experiencing the freedom that's promised. And why? It's because I'm choosing to eat glutens. And I thought about that and I prayed about it and I said, God, I want for us, I want for me, I want for my family, I want for my church, I want us to identify and live in that freedom. And see, the thing with Jesus is he gives us choice. We're not automated robots. We're not forced into this. Every decision we make is a choice. We choose Jesus. We choose the gluten-free diet, or we choose our old song. And see, the gift when we choose the new song is beauty, is actual freedom. is that you move through your day and you don't have a constant gut ache. You choose your old song. You live with gut ache. Colossians 3 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Okay, so here's the first part of it. Okay, there's a reality that when you choose Jesus, you are raised with Christ. You are set free. Any sin, anything that would bind you, that would tangle you, you have freedom. And the question is, what do you do with your freedom? Do you in that moment choose to sing your new song? To let your voice go out, proclaiming God's goodness? Or do you turn back to your old song? Now, while we're moving through this, I want you to be thinking, what is my old song? What is the old song that I'm singing now? Is it addiction? Is it gossip? Is it pornography? What is your old song? Identify it. There's this reality that in Jesus, we die. The sinful nature, it dies. It's put to death. In Jesus, we are raised. Verse 5 says this, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." I'm going to read this whole next section through here. And these items, these are part of the old song. These are part of the song that we sing. This is our gluten. These are the glutens in here. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these days in a life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these." Now, you may have made it through that first list and gone, "Oh, whew, got through the first ones, I'm okay." Here's part two, the second verse of the old song. "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Now, we even spent time in that specific idea that changes everything. The reality that there's no division, there's no difference, that Christ is all and in all when we choose Jesus. All of those other differences disappear. But still we're singing the old song, church. Still we're singing the old song. This might be the day. This might be the day, October 23rd, 2016. October 23, 2016, when you put your foot down and say, "I'm not going to sing that old song anymore." Now that's my prayer, church. That's my prayer, because in a sense, it's really, really simple. It's hard. We have patterns that we have shaped ourselves into. We have this natural tendency to want to go back to what we know, to what we can hold on to, what we can grab onto. But Jesus is standing here saying, hey, you've got some freedom, but I've got all freedom. I want you to listen to the old song. Where is Jesus standing there saying, will you give me that? Will you actually take that and put it in my hand and trust me with it? Old song. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Get rid of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. And we're just going to pause just for a few moments of reflection. Where is your old song and what is Jesus saying to you right now? Just take a few moments. Close your eyes. Now, Jesus, as we sit here praying, I pray and ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be doing a work, a new work, a new healing work, a new song work, that people would be looking and they would be marking in their minds this day, this October 23rd of 2016, that they would be looking to you and choosing you. I pray that they would be taking up and putting on their spiritual armor and putting to death these things. Now, as we look at the new song, we need to understand that it's all there. Jesus has held it out. It's all there. It's all ready for us. Right? The work is done. The initiation came from Jesus. And ours then is a life of response. It does require us to respond, though. And what I thought was really interesting was it came to mind the training up and the teaching of children. Because a song will get into your head when you're young, and you'll be able to recall that song 30, 40, 50 years later. Am I right? And so I thought, how do we train our children up? How did the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jews, how did they train their people up? And so in Jesus' day, there was three levels of education. And these were most likely put into place after Ezra and the exile in order to teach people about the Scripture. You remember when they unearthed and they found the Scripture, and they opened it up, and they went, oh, what have we done? Who have we become? And Lord, I pray in this moment that that's happening for us, that you are opening our eyes. Because the new song again, church, it isn't about us generating the words. The words are given to us by God. The new song is us singing out our response to God and who He is. And so the first level of this education was called Bet Sefer. At the ages of 6 through 12, the Jewish boys and girls would begin their education in the synagogue school, learning how to read and write. The textbook that they used was the Torah, which are the first five books of the Bible. And the goal for these children from 6 to 12 was for them to memorize the sacred text. There was a writing found that was discovered. It's a Jewish writing, ancient writing, that says, before the age of 6, do not accept pupils. From that age, you can accept them and stuff them with Torah like an ox. Take the scripture and feed it. Take the scripture and feed it to them the way that you would feed an animal, a hungry animal that will eat and will eat and will eat and will eat. And it's a little bit crass, but the reality is we are all hungry and we are all eating something. Are we eating the old song? Are we eating all the cinnamon buns? I keep going back to cinnamon buns, I'm sorry. I love cinnamon buns. After this hour, they're okay again, all right? Except for celiacs. Are we eating the gluten-filled food that's wrecking us? Or are we going to choose to eat the gluten-free food? That maybe when we first start, we go, oh, this tastes like cardboard, it's awful. Right? But then after we develop discipline, and we start to discover that there are other foods out there, that there are other ways of eating, all of a sudden it becomes this trained, developed pattern and habit in our lives. And church, that's the way it has to be for us with Scripture. We need to take Scripture and we need to eat it like a food. Can you imagine 12-year-old kids having memorized the first 5 books of the Bible? I mean, how often do we actually even sit and read the first 5 books of the Bible? The next level after that was the Midrash. This was only for the best of the best. And it would include memorizing essentially the whole Old Testament. Just consuming Scripture and placing what is God's Word, God's truth, into your mind and into your heart. Now, if you've ever been in a place of temptation and you've stopped, right? You've been looking at the gluten food and you've stopped and you've gone, okay, pause. And you've prayed. If you've spent time marinating, saturating yourself in God's Word, He will provide a way out. He will shine His light in that place and move you from there. The thing is, some of us are sitting here going, wow, I just don't have time. I don't really want to. I couldn't memorize. I can't even memorize a verse. I'm just going to keep going. That's the old song, church. Sing to the Lord a new song. A new song means change. It means new decisions. It means new direction. It means eyes on Jesus. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What's the new song? There's the new song. There's the new song that we sing. There's the new song that we can sing, that we should sing. I'm going to read it again slowly, gently. I want you to think of your life. If you were to take all that cart of the gluten food and you were to push it off and you were to embrace this new way, this changed diet, Which the reality is you stand over here and you look at it and go, it's not actually that, it's not that super appetizing. Right? The idea of it, but then you take the first step, it's not always an easy step. I'm a diabetic. I take about 4 or 5 needles a day. I have to monitor, 10 if I monitor my blood sugar throughout the whole day. And I have said before, I would rather be a diabetic and able to eat anything I want than a celiac and not able to eat gluten. Right? Now here's the thing. This metaphor only goes so far. At a certain point, it falls flat. Because being a celiac is hard. It's hard on your body. It's a changed diet. There's very little vision other than keeping yourself a little bit healthy. The thing with Jesus is the first steps are hard, but the vision is full life and abundance and freedom. But it needs the new song, church. Now just listen to the new song. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I'm going to move through an article that was shared about how our minds work and why do we retain and remember songs. I'm just going to skim through and pull out a few details. The new song is something that we have to consciously choose. It's something that we have to consciously sing. It's something that we have to consciously engage in. It's there for us. Really, what it is about resisting the old song and looking to Jesus, which is the new song. One of the key reasons that we're so good at remembering music is the reason we are so good at remembering a number of things that we have repeated multiple times. It's about repetition. Goes on to give the example of a piano player. They can remember entire sonatas and play them perfectly by memory. In some cases, people suffer with severe amnesia and forget who they are, but can still play their favorite songs when they sit down at a piano. Likewise, a dancer will retain the moves to dances for many years, and so will a martial artist remember all the moves and the forms that they have to learn in. The common denominator is practice. All right, I want freedom. I want to sing a new song. I want it. Okay, well, let's do it one step at a time. Let's practice. Step one, Jesus. Step one, temptation comes at you, and the first place you look isn't yourself. The first place you look isn't to the old song. The first place you look is Jesus. Then you move into these other forms, these other habits that you develop in the spiritual disciplines. When I was young, I liked a variety of music. And some of the music was in genres that were totally inappropriate for me to listen to at that time. And my mom is here today, and for most days from now on, which is awesome. And she was the one that would hear some of the music and would hear some of the words that were in the music. And she would lean in and say, "What are you listening to, and why are you listening to that?" And my response would be, "Well, I don't even know what the lyrics are. I don't listen to the words, Mom. I just like the sound of the music." Anybody ever said that? "I don't really like the words. I just like the sound of the music." and 20 and 30 years later, something will trigger a memory, and all of the words of a verse of a song that's totally inappropriate, that contains all of the things mentioned in that first batch of sexuality, of just old song. And what I have to do is intentionally, because I've patterned that in my mind, I have to intentionally shut it off and redirect. Old song. Now here's the thing. You can choose to pattern yourself with old song, or you can choose to pattern yourself with new song. Don't think there's an option. There is an option. Don't think that you are not patterning yourself. You are patterning yourself. Regardless, one way or the other, you are setting patterns. You are setting pathways in your neurons. You are implanting things in your memory. So are you going to choose new song? Or are you going to choose old song? Verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Now I want to speak specifically to this idea of song and to the idea of corporate worship. One of the things that the Crossroads as a church set out to engage in and do when it was birthed 14 years ago, somewhere in that area, was they were passionate about current music. They were passionate about joining what God was doing at a global level and moving forward in our worship. And that's something that we identified when we did our vision, mission, and values, and something that we want to honor and press ahead in. One of our values is that we value passionate worship. Now, how do we do that when we come from so many different backgrounds, from so many different homes, when we listen to so many different styles of music? And this is just a practical one. We have identified where we're going and the flagships of worship that we're following and how we're moving ahead. Where God is at a global level taking movements and transforming people. And we want to move and we want to go in that direction together. Now, at the same time that we're moving in that direction, we are remembering and we are honoring God's movement in worship in the past. And so we sang today, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. What a rich and a beautiful song that also reflects one of our values. We value God's presence. But in this practical idea, sing a new song is more than just vocally singing a song. And we've been talking about all the other parts, but it is also about singing a song. We as a church want to sing together. And so I want to invite us, church. The way that we move into developing a corporate worship is by learning the music and learning the songs. And if you don't have any of the albums from the songs that we're singing, you need to get some of that music. And there are so many different ways that you can do that. And so I want to challenge you today in this idea, this concept of singing a new song. Okay? I want to challenge you to speak to one of our worship team members about the music that we're singing and playing. And then I want to challenge you to start listening. You might find one song on that album that you resonate with. Start singing, develop the pattern. We sing together, church. We sing together. What's the result of this new song that we are called to sing? For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. The Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, a family of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. All this speaks out is moving out, taking our glory, our praise, our new song, and proclaiming it in the world. It isn't made to be held tight. It's made to be spoken. It's made to be sung. And we've talked about a lot of things. We've covered a lot of ground. And it's exciting ground. It's exciting ground because this might be the day where you put your foot down and you say, I'm choosing Jesus, I'm choosing the new song. I'm recognizing my old song and I'm rejecting it, I'm putting it to death. Now in that spirit of new song, I want to share with you something new that God is doing for us as a church and in our broader community. And this is something that has come about fairly suddenly in the last couple of months. One of the things that we have longed for as a church, and I heard it when I first came here 4 years ago, we've longed for a home. What does our home look like? And we've been renting office space, and we've been renting this theater space, and we've looked at the numbers, and we've looked at possibly buying places, and it comes back and we go, we just don't see any way forward here, Lord. And what do we do? We come back and we pray. And we always come back and we pray. Last year we looked at a couple of different options as a board, some different opportunities that arose, and we went to those places and we stopped and we sat and we prayed and we heard God say, it's not the time right now. Trust me. Wait on me and trust me. About 2 months ago, we were approached. 2 months ago, is that about right, brother? 2 months ago, RJ, who is chair of the board at Sunshine Coast Gospel Church in Davis Bay, said, you know what, we just feel led, feel free to reword here, but we feel led to gift this church and this property to your church. We identify with what you're doing, and this past week, both the Sunshine Coast Gospel Church board signed papers, as did Crossroads sign papers. And there's still a couple other detailed steps, but I'm not sure if you're aware. I'm getting from the silence that you're either awestruck or you're not aware of the significance, right, of God's provision in this. Yeah. Awestruck. We're going to go with awestruck. What this beautiful church has done, as they are coming to recognizing the end of their season in ministry, is they are passing the torch, and they're sharing with us, and they are giving us we don't have all the details sorted yet, but they're giving us what will likely be a ministry center, and at this point we will continue to meet here But we're going to be making some further decisions and exploring different options with that. But it's significant. It's really significant. God is good. God is good. And so, RJ, just can I get you and anybody else who's here on behalf of Sunshine Coast Gospel Church, can I just get you guys to stand just where you're at? I know Anita is here. Yeah, and Marcus is here. And is that Richard, brother? So let's just say thank you for the gift and the blessing of this church. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, you guys. You don't have to stay standing. We value, we recognize your shared vision for the church, your desire for mission, your desire to see God work and move on the Sunshine Coast. And we will honor that, won't we, church? We will honor that as we press ahead and seek where God is leading us in this singing of a new song. And so we just want to fully, it's been something that, because there's been legalities and details going through that in order to honor the process, has been kept fairly closed. But as the papers have been signed and talking with the Sunshine Coast Gospel Church and our board, we really were excited to let you know what's going on. So talk about new song. Hey, church, talk about new song. So thank you. Let's move to feet on the ground. Feet on the ground. So here's our challenge, church, is the reality. Every single one of us has an old song that we sing. And if you're going, I forget. I even forget that list that you just read, Joel. Go to Colossians 3 and read that. That's your old song. And see, one of the things that we need to do as followers of Jesus is we need to identify the strategies of the enemy. The enemy is going to use your old song, and he's going to make your old song sound sweet. He's going to make it look tasty. He's going to make it look good. Here's your response. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. How do we do that? We look to Jesus. When? We look to Jesus in temptation, in depression, in rejoicing, in celebration. And so I want to invite you to stand right now as I pray. And immediately following the prayer, we're going to have John and Mary, and Rosemary come up here, and we're going to pray for you. And we're going to have our ministry prayer team going as well as communion. We'll get our worship team up as well. And so I just want to invite you to pray. Lord Jesus, you came, Lord, and you broke the old song. You took it and you broke it. And we confess, Lord, that sometimes that old song seems like something we want to go back to. And so I want to just invite you, church, in this moment to make space to say, I choose you, Jesus. I choose the new song. And if you're here and you've been distanced from Jesus, maybe you knew Jesus when you were young and you just got sidetracked and you just began singing the old song, knowing that the new song was somewhere, but you just got stuck in the old song, I want to invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I've been lost. Lord Jesus, I've been singing the old song and I reject it. In your name, Jesus, I reject it. And I choose you, Lord. I choose the new song. And I choose you, Jesus. I choose to take steps after you. I choose to pursue you as you have pursued me. And so, Lord, that speaks to, if we're honest, I believe that speaks to all of us. And we know that you have a path laid out for us, Jesus. And so we just ask that you would give us real direction and real clarity. That you would continue to draw us to you. And Lord, I pray right now that your song would overpower any of the old song. And so we bring all this before you in your name, Jesus, trusting you. Amen. Amen, church. I really want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you that God is doing a new thing, that he has a new song for you. And so as we make our way from here, choose the new song. As we make our way from here, I want you to thank our brothers and sister from the Sunshine Coast Gospel Church. As we make our way from here, sing and pray new song over John and Rosemary as they move into a new season. Bless you this week in Jesus' name. Amen.